Sports Talk with Joe Smith is proud to present Behind the Scenes with IU Vice President and Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, brought to you by IU Athletics. Come on back home again to Indiana. It's a whole new ball game. Buy tickets now at IUHoosiers.com. Now, from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana, here's Joe Smith and Fred Glass.
Well, 24 days into the year 2017, but never too late to say a happy new year as we begin another calendar year live from Yogi's Sports Bar and Grill. It is Sports Talk tonight, kicking off with the Behind the Scenes with IU Vice President Director of Athletics Fred Glass on our Numero Uno show. It's brought to you in part by IU Sports, the Department of Intercollegiate Athletics. Later, it's Edgewood Hoops with head basketball coach J.B. Neal as the Mustangs look for its second straight WIC title in tow for J.B. A couple of his outstanding seniors, Cooper Bybee and Jason Brown. And a familiar foe in the Northview Knights, a game you'll find on the airwaves Friday night. Along with our producer, Will Boatman, high atop our One City Center studios downtown. On-site producers, Jawan and Mike Glasscott, and all of our sponsors, including IU Sports. We're back at it. Hi again, everyone. Joe Smith. Heck, we even have a new president. We even have a new governor. And we have Fred in the house. And, well, you're starting your ninth year. And the old man here, I forgot how many years I have under my belt. But happy new year, my friend. Glad to see you again.
Great to see you, Joe. Not bad for a couple over buff guys.
I tell you what, we, you know, that's just a number, age, isn't it?
So, exactly right. That's what I keep telling myself.
Wow, new football coach, a women's tennis coach, both basketball teams in a winning mode, South End Zone Construction. But I tell you, one of our favorites, and I thought we'd start with this because here over the, just in the last couple of weeks, we like to talk Indiana and put Indiana in front of Purdue. You know, it's not hard at all. And 5 points the last 2 weeks in the Indiana Governor's Cup. And all of a sudden, thanks to the track and field teams, the swimming and diving teams, and women's basketball, we have vaulted into a 7.5 to 3.5 points lead, and we're still in January.
Yeah, it's good to get off to a good start there. And, you know, there's very few things I like more than beating Purdue. And so it's been an embarrassment of riches lately with sweeping, swimming and diving, sweeping track and field, and what a barn burner game for the barn burner trophy of the night with the women's basketball team beating the Boilers. So it's been a good week for me, Joe. Like, I love beating Purdue.
Well, no question, and it was a great win last night. A little defensive have at it in the final quarter, getting to the free throw line and disposing of Penn State. That hadn't been done ever. I mean, a sweep of Penn State. They've had some strong teams, but boy, I tell you, Terry's getting the job done, and so far so good. They go to Wisconsin, but like the men, right in the thick of things in the Big Ten standings.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Joe. And, you know, there was high expectations going into the season. We've started off with some tough opponents, but we're, you know, over 500 in a tough Big Ten conference. And, man, that fourth quarter last night was some great basketball. If you don't like that, you just don't like basketball. This team is really, really worth supporting. Those games are so much fun. And I really encourage our fans to get out there and support the women's basketball team. You're gonna have a great time because it's great basketball.
Well, the crowds have been good, and Fred Glass joining us on our first show from Yogi Sports Bar and Grill here for 2017. A little bit later, we'll have the Fred Glass Honor Roll, and of course, as always, our employee in the spotlight and our department in the spotlight. As we continue along, I think what we're going to do is ask you to put your headset on the other way around and. We'll just wait and see. Yeah, see if that makes
it. We'll give you the next
headset. Is that the second one anyway?
I didn't have it on backwards, did I, Joe?
No.
Can you have these on backwards?
You could put that a little bit closer.
I've got a little bit of a cold, but I don't know.
No, that's fine.
Are we good?
No, you're
right.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Man, I had so many good pearls of wisdom. I hope listeners.
Well, you know what? You haven't opened that can of pearl of wisdoms yet. So that's why you're here tonight.
Excellent.
Hey, we had a retirement, and I got to mention the dean of IU coaches, Lynn Loring, stepping aside. But that was a no-brainer. Romero Asqui, a quarter century, his sidekick, and wow, what a nice start for the tennis team, the women's tennis team, off to a 2-0 start.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Joe, because, you know, we're in the midst of greatness with Lynn Loring. This thing just doesn't happen ever. It's unique. 800 wins.
All the Big Ten championships, a national championship, and kind of like Mr. Holland's opus, I think the thing that Lynn even appreciates more is all the wedding invitations and christening announcements and really being a part of the lives of these young women. He's just a unique person who's made unique contributions, and I've really rued the day that I feared would come when he would finally hang it up. But I was relieved to know that, you know, we would very likely turn to Romero, who's a class act. He's turned down a number of opportunities, even within the own conference, to be a head coach. Very loyal to Lynn. Very loyal to Indiana University. And the Indiana University Athletics. And I also, Lynn hates it when I bring this up, but, you know, few people know that we came on campus the same year.
1977.
Yeah. I was a freshman, and he was a tennis coach relocated from California. So, you know, slightly different phases of life, but arrived at Bloomington at the same time.
And, you know, 5 years later, he won an AIAW national championship to go along and really start everything. 28 national tournament appearances, 16 Big Ten titles along the way. And I don't know, that bar is so high, the only coach in Division I history in the sport to ever amass 800 wins. And, you know, I talked to Romero just the other day, and what a whirlwind type of thing. It wasn't like he was transitioning, you know, coming into a new program. Obviously, you know, he's been around the block. But to have his first match be against his daughter's collegiate team, I mean, you know, I wonder what was going through his mind. He said it was just tremendous.
Yeah, as that was very ironic and bittersweet. But it was so comforting to be able to turn to Romero. I can't imagine anybody that I would more want to lead the Indiana women's tennis program. And the young women were very excited about it. And I think he'll continue, you know, the great legacy that Lynn has set. And you know, now it's just different being the head coach. I told Romero, I mean, I don't care how close you've been to it, how long you've been to it. It's a different perspective, and, you know, we're going to do everything we can to help him make that transition, but he's already well on his way.
No question about it, and along, and we've talked about this forever, along with some of our other sports teams that create excellence in the classroom as well, and the tennis team has been right there for decades, a 100% graduation rate for as long as Lynn was the head coach.
Yeah, it's just a great example that just the culture is so important, and it's part of the culture of that team just to make outstanding grades. And there's, you know, I think healthy peer pressure, and, you know, even when it would make me laugh, Lynn would have kids who came in through the special admission process, our sponsorship program, oftentimes because of maybe trouble with the English language, maybe they're international students.
Sure. And he had a few of them.
And I'll be darned if a bunch of them didn't end up making honor roll, high honor roll, straight A's. Because even with some natural challenges like a language barrier, there was a cultural directive to achieve academically. And I don't know how many Herbert Cups in a row they won, but it was a significant number, and they're always one of our most outstanding academic teams.
Jeremy Wertzman's fellows also got off to a good start. They go back to the East Coast, but they started off with a 2-0 slate as well, the men's tennis coach. So it's great to see that our spring sports, even though this is technically still winter, up and running big time. We're just getting started, going behind the scenes with IU Vice President Director of Athletics, Fred Glass. We'll be back to continue to, well, catch up. Talk a little about the new football program, certainly headed in the right direction. Heck, we had a bowl game we played. I mean, all kinds of things. South football construction end zone is underway. We got it all tonight. We'll be back with more with Fred after these timeouts. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Sports Talk behind the scenes with IU Vice President and Director of Athletics at Indiana U, Fred Glass. By the way, you heard the Yogi spot. They have a brand new menu, and they're having something that's real neat. Every week they're having a rotating brat, compliments of the Wagon Wheel restaurant here, which is a local outfit down on the south side. But they're having a rotating bratwurst every week, and this week that'll warm you up, a jalapeno cheddar brat. So that is what is new at Yogi's. And craving an easier way to order, all you have to do is visit the website yogis.com and your order will be ready. Well, you know, with the warm weather, and I know somewhere along the line we're going to, you know, get hit with snow, but talk to me a little before we talk a little about the football program, how the construction, they've gotten a few days in that they maybe wouldn't have had soon after the bucket went over Purdue back in November.
Yeah, Joe, our goal was to get the ground broken as quickly after the football season ended as possible, and thanks to Tom Morrison and all the great people on campus, they're right on schedule. Got the perimeter fence up, took down, starting to demolish the fence and so forth. They're already digging trenches in a side road and starting to take down the Jumbotron and such. So progress is being made, and we'll ask our fans for their patience as we work through it. But it'll be, in terms of football, we'll be working through this upcoming football season, but then open for the season thereafter, 2018.
Well, no question. And, it's just been an outstanding, there was a tough situation back the 1st of December. But we moved forward, and we now talk about addressing a National Letter Signing Day, which is coming up a week from tomorrow. Yeah,
February 1. Yeah, so we're excited about that. The of course, can't comment on any specific folks. But the class is really coming together well, including with the benefit of some of the assistants that Tom has added. I really like the look of the staff, I think, as unfortunate as the situation was with Kevin, the fact that Tom was able to have 30 days of practice and a game to coach really gives us momentum going into the upcoming fall. So I love the way the kids are responding. I'm excited about the staff he's put together. You know, we haven't been together, but talking about Mike DeBoard, I mean, you know, another Indiana guy, Hoosier
sure.
born.
Yeah.
His brother, Eric, was my law school classmate and played football, as you know, here. He's a good player.
He's on the Holiday Bowl team.
Exactly right. So Mike shares that Hoosier connection and very flexible in his offensive philosophies and very successful at Tennessee. So I feel good about the momentum we've got and can't wait for signing day and moving into the new season.
Had a chance to talk to Mike DeBoard, and we'll do so in due time with Coach Hurd. But Sean Watson was around, retained, obviously, and elevated, and he'll be working with the quarterbacks, and really had a great those 15 practices going out and watching the Hoosiers getting ready for the move west and playing a good football club, a team where we had an opportunity to win back in Santa Clara. But, you know, again, the people behind the scenes, a lot of your people, Fred, that helped make that move from Bloomington out to San Francisco, it went like clockwork, just like the trip to New York.
Yeah, I could get used to this. You know, and we learned a lot with New York, and we did better, I think, heading out to San Francisco, just sort of administrative perspective. And, you know, that was a really good Utah team. I think it's the second oldest team in the country, second only to BYU. I guess there's something about the Mormons that they hang around and they do other things and come back. But I think they're
you know who founded the Mormons, don't you?
I do.
The founder,
Big Joe Smith.
Wow.
You and yeah. Right.
Go ahead.
I think their kicker was like 47 years old or something and had grandchildren at the game. But in any event, we're tired of being close and not getting over the hump. That's why Tom's motto going into the new season is breakthrough. I think that's very apropos. But we went toe-to-toe with somebody who's supposed to be the class of the Pac-12, and frankly, we probably should have won that ball game. So I think that bodes well for the direction of the program.
That's a spiffy-looking sweater you got on, and the front of it says water polo, and I haven't met Ryan Castle yet, but he took his first Indiana women's team out west to Santa Barbara and came back with a winning record, 3-2. What can you tell us about Ryan Castle?
You know, Ryan is he's going to wear well with people who get to know him here in Indiana. He's very earnest, a smart guy, just loves water polo, very connected with the kids, takes a very deliberate but hardworking approach to the game. And, you know, in his first trip out there, beat some big teams, including number 6 Hawaii,
yeah,
which was his alma mater. We hired him away from Hawaii, as you probably know. So I'm really excited about Ryan, and you know, this is a big year for us in terms of water polo. We're going to host the conference championships here in Bloomington this spring, and then the national championships are at the Nautitorium up in Indy. So it'd be wonderful. I don't want to put too much pressure on Ryan as a first-year guy. It'd be great if we could make some noise and be active in both the conference and the national championships this year, because they're in our backyard.
Well, mentioning water sports, Ray Luz's swimmers and Drew Johansson's divers certainly making waves big time. The men still haven't been beaten in duels. They're ranked 4th, the women, and ranked 14th. And as we mentioned right at the top, both teams swept Purdue here a couple of meets back. So there's a lot of great things going on at the Councilman Billingsley Aquatic Center.
Yeah, there sure is, Joe. And even though we've dropped a 4th without having lost, which is kind of a weird one on me,
yeah,
we started the year as ranked number 1 men's team in the country, which I don't think had happened since the 70s. So I love to be able to talk about this hasn't happened since the 70s, that hasn't happened since the 70s, and that's really going on a lot with swimming. When we had a heyday in the 70s, some of the track and field things with Coach Bell when he was running things back in the 70s and 80s. And again, it's that effort to get back to a golden age of Indiana University athletics and what's going on with the pool, both here and the Olympics. Track and field ranked the number 1 dual meet team in the country. Again, the wind at our back with the success at Rio. It's really great, and it's especially great to see that going on with swimming and diving, where we have such a great history, and this community is full of people who really contributed to that great legacy.
And, you know, we talk about what was scripted in Rio, and here we sit in a city and on a campus, and it's all free to go out and watch these men and women that perform for their country so very well. And here they are doing the same for their university, Indiana U, and it's just incredible when you stop and think about the impact that they made. But, you know, it's not like we take them for granted, but they're right there, and it doesn't cost anything to go in and watch them compete.
No, and it's like a 3-ring circus. You'll have a great time, yeah, going to a track and field meet or a swimming meet or a water polo match, and I think it's, you know, kind of captured the imagination of Hoosiers. I don't know if you saw this yesterday, Joe, but Reggie Miller
heard that
invited Lily King to come and be his guest at the Knicks-Pacers game last night. Reggie was broadcasting it, and I don't know if this got done, but I must admit that I really was hoping to get a picture of Lily doing the Russian finger wag at the same time that Reggie was doing the Spike Lee choke hold. That would have been a classic.
On our Fred Glass Honor Roll, mentioning track and field, Daniel Kuhn out of Shelbyville. He just keeps getting faster and faster. He set another record this past weekend. He's currently got the best time in the 600 meters. Michael Hickson last week was the diver of the week. And earlier today, young lady mentioning Romero Asqui's tennis team, Madison Appel, who is only a sophomore, went a perfect 4-0 in singles and doubles for the Hoosiers. And she is the first Big Ten Women's Athlete of the Week. So our honor roll growing there. Mentioning our honor roll and our department in the spotlight and employee in the spotlight, again, never ever do we run out of names, departments, and achievements. And Fred, who do we have to kick off this calendar year of 2017?
Is it that time already,
it
Joe?
Is indeed.
Man, this just goes too
Fly
fast.
And by.
Well, I've been gone so long. It's good to catch up with you. Well, you know, we like to highlight departments that are sometimes in the background and don't get the recognition that they deserve. There's probably nothing more background than our information technology staff. And probably some of your listeners can relate to this, because in their offices, imagine how technology's grown like turvy over the last, 5 years, 10 years, 1 year, 6 months. Our people are being required to take care of more and more gadgetry, sometimes with a little increase in headcount or even budget. You know, everybody's got an iPhone, iPad,
right,
desktop. You know, we got Cuban Center stuff. We put on these events, and as you know, sometimes something will go haywire in terms of wireless access in assembly hall, and there's our crack team kind of getting it put back together. So we ask an awful lot of them. We have, I think, increased staff. We have new office space for them in recognition that they're such a vital part of our crowd. And it's led by the very able Dan Fitzsimmons, who very helpfully came from campus. So he has those relationships and that knowledge that he's brought to athletics. Cindy Grubb is kind of his right-hand person. Curtis Shangala is a network administrator. You know, another kind of little-known fact is that Dan and his staff, and Cindy was really instrumental in this, did all the programming for those touch screens that are in Assembly Hall, where you can look at All-Americans and high school players and so forth. That's extraordinary. I can't imagine what that would cost, even if you could buy it, to have it come and be programmed from the outside. These are real professionals who love Indiana and bleed cream and crimson. And I will mention to you that nobody wanted to add in the high school people, the All-Stars and the Mr. Basketballs. And that's something I said, you know what, I think our fans are going to want to do that. I think they're going to like that. And so begrudgingly, they did that. And Dan can monitor the most hits, and all the most hits are high school basketball
there you go.
Players. So I'm rarely vindicated on any kind of decision, but I got one there. Julie England's part of the staff. Mickey Leibacher, who's so awesome and helps me out so much. And then my man, Kareem Batu, who's always coming and helping me unscrew up whatever I've screwed up on my system. So it's a great group, a hale and hearty, not a huge group, but a strong group. And they do, all the things that you would expect, both as in a workplace with 250 employees, but also putting on these events and so forth. So I could really name any one of these folks as the person, but I'm going to give it to Dan Fitzsimmons as the employee in the spotlight. He really is a brilliant guy. He is a steady hand at the helm when everybody's going crazy. He keeps his head about him. So Dan Fitzsimmons is my employee in the spotlight.
Did a great job, too, on that bull situation as well out west. I got hacked today, so I have a new password. So if anybody's listening to me, just delete what you received. Don't open it and delete. I could have used a few of these people. But anyway, our chief engineer was there, and I got a new password. And it's about the fourth time in the last year and a half I've been hacked on the computer.
Well, I'm glad to hear it's only a hacking, Joe, because I got my email and I thought you had been beaten up in Nigeria and we needed to send a king's ransom to, you know, your bank account. So I was getting ready to send you a bunch of money over
D-E-L-E-T-E, or how you spell it. Do away with it. Hey, it was great breaking bread with you tonight, and we'll touch base again next month as we move through, and we're going to save baseball. What a great situation to be honored to host the Big Ten baseball tournament.
So excited about that.
I thought we'd save that for February when we get a little closer. I mean, baseball will be starting in the mid part of February.
Pitchers and catchers will be
reporting
soon.
Pitchers and catchers, you go, baby. So what a great sight that'll be in May at the brand new facility. I say brand new. It still is brand new. Always will be to me after Sembauer. And we're talking about Mark Kauffman Stadium. So have a great week. And go Hoosiers. We'll see you along the road in basketball on a couple of trips this winter. We wish Tom and the guys the very best in these two big road games coming up this
absolutely.
Week.
They're key.
Big screen right here at Yogi's for the Michigan game as well as Northwestern. Fred Glass joining us behind the scenes, and when we come back, another title matchup between Edgewood and Northview. Yep, playing 2 years in a row, WIC championship. This one's in the corral. Jason Brown, Cooper Bybee, and head coach J.B. Neal joins us with a lot of familiarity about the team they're playing, the Northview Knights, Friday night. We'll talk EHS Mustang basketball when we come back. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Sports Talk continuing. The game of hoops on the high school beat Friday night out at the Corral in Ellettsville, joined by J.B. Neal, the head coach in his first year, Had J.B. on back in December. He was on the phone from his home over in Bloomfield because we had icky road conditions. We were going to bring in Cooper Bybee and Jason Brown, the two veteran senior leaders of this basketball club. We didn't want to get them out, but they're in person tonight, and they got Northview on their mind. JB, thanks for bringing the guys in. Cooper and Jason, welcome to the show tonight. Let's just talk hoops and talk red and black basketball in what has been a very outstanding season to date, but there's more fish to fry. And how neat is this, JB? Getting a hold of these kids as late as you did after the hire back last summer to here play in January Friday night for a conference championship.
Yeah, I think it says a lot about them and their character. You know, they won the conference last year, so, you know, they got a chance to repeat here. So that says a lot about them coming back and being able to do that with a different coach. And I think for these two guys, I think I'm their third coach in 4 years. So, you know, like I said, it says a lot about their character to be able to adapt and adjust to different people and still be successful.
I want you to address the leadership aspect that you've seen from the two fellows that we'll be hearing from in just a bit, in Cooper Bybee, who certainly is having an outstanding season, one of the top scorers in the state, and Jason Brown certainly saving his best season, his last season as his best season to date, and what a job he's been doing in the rebounding aspect that's aided his game.
Yeah, we wouldn't be in a spot we're in playing for the conference Friday night if it wasn't for these two's leadership, not just on the court, but the locker room and practice. You know, that's vital to make sure that we're getting something out of every day whenever we practice.
Well, you do and you have, and it's been a season that started off with a couple of heavies. You know, we were out and did your Indian Creek game, first time we saw the guys live, and what a convincing win that was. And really, you look at the 17 games played, there have only been a couple of hiccups along the way.
Yeah, we've had a couple, and you know, I was talking to a coaching friend of mine today, and I think everybody goes through that at some point in their season, and I think the thing about it is how you recover from it. And that's one thing we've been able to do. Even a game we've lost, we've always came back strong and followed it up by victory and gotten better. We've learned from a loss instead of getting worse.
And I think, too, you know, you had an irking loss right before Christmas. After we did that Indian Creek game, you went over to Sullivan and lost that tough one in overtime. But then I think quite possibly that turning point of the season, the way it stands right now, talk about the experience of playing both big Terre Haute schools well and playing in the Wabash Valley and getting the amount of games you got in there.
Yeah, we were able to make four games over there, and you know, we got the chances of playing both Terre Haute North and Terre Haute South in the same same year in that tournament. I don't know if it's ever happened for anyone, and we competed very well against them. It just came down to, you know, a minute or two to go in the game, and things didn't go our way here and there, but we had no regrets. I thought that tournament made us better whenever we came home, and we've got 6-4A schools on our schedule, so you know, obviously, and we've been competing with them, so we're getting better.
Sure have. You had them both on the ropes, Terre Haute North and South, in that Wabash Valley tournament. As the weeks have gone by, and you just spoke of the leadership from Cooper and also from Jason, what do you like about your first Edgewood team as we see? And sometimes we get caught up in stats, but Chayton Howard, for instance, the weekend he had last weekend, what are you liking as you're seeing as you enter into the January and February portion?
Well, I've just got great kids to work with. I think they show up every day and they want to get better. We've, as you said, had some hiccups here and there, but we've always rebounded from that and come in and worked and look to get better as we go each week. And that's been good to work with. The kids have adapted real well. I mean, we started in August and kind of put it in, you know, space mode there to hit the weight room and then once practice started, so we've not had a lot of time, but they've really adjusted well.
Well, another thing too they do well is share the basketball. They are averaging almost over 14 and a half assists. That's got to be pleasing. That tells you the ball's getting in the right hands of your shooters and players, and the results are there.
Yes, we play very unselfish. I think sometimes a little too unselfish. It brings to mind Jason passed up a shot in the paint there the other night that I reminded him of at halftime. Kicked it out and it ended up being a turnover. But, we play unselfish. We try to get the ball in spots for highest percentage shots. So, you know, that's all a coach can ask.
Jason, what do you do the next time you're in the paint Friday night and you see that Northview Knight defending you? What are you going to do now?
Obviously, I'm going to shoot the ball.
Shoot the ball. Well, you shot the ball well. Talk about your season before we talk to Cooper. You're averaging extremely good size points. I mean, 6.5, you're starting. Talk about the transition, getting Coach Neal in. Was there that much of a change? And talk about that.
I mean, with Coach Mahurin, I never really felt like I was a main scorer. So once Coach Neal came, his different philosophy kind of helped me gain confidence in myself and wanting to shoot the ball and looking to score.
Well, you know, one thing you've done extremely well, rebounding. That's all positioning. How hard have you worked on that as the months have gone by now, because you're an excellent rebounder?
I mean, I just know that to stay on the floor, for me, I just have to rebound and do the smart things. So that's pretty much my main goal when I'm out there, and points will come.
Well, one thing you guys have, is familiarity with Northview. You know, I had lost count. You played them 4 times last year. We were talking about that Wabash Valley tournament. You caught them there. You caught them in the title game, which you won last year. And then you had them in the regular season. And, unfortunately, you lost the sectional championship. What kind of motivation now, having lost that game, where you are now, goes into the works for Friday night?
Well, obviously, we want to win. You never want to lose to someone that you lost to last year. And it's a team that we know we can beat. So we just got to work hard and show up ready to play.
Well, I tell you, as I say, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Your pop, of course, is former head coach, and I did his high school games. Your sis was an outstanding basketball player. He's going to join us on the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame board, which we're looking very much forward to. Talk to me about basketball and the aspect growing up in a sports family.
Well, when I was younger, I honestly didn't even like basketball. I kind of had to grow into it and find out that it was my favorite sport to play, and that is probably my best sport.
Well, it is turning into one of your better sports. I tell you what, how good a team is this defensively right now, Jason?
It's a lot better than we were last year. I think our intensity level is up a lot higher just because we're playing actual man-to-man instead of like a zone,
right,
oriented defense. And having that, I mean, it's just a lot better than we were last year.
Well, the results prove that out. And somewhere along the line Friday night and beyond, you're going to host the sectional 2, JB, and that's another feather in your cap.
Yes, yes.
So I know you're looking forward to that, but you got your mind on the Northview Knights. Cooper Bybee, as we mentioned, what can you say about this young man? He has poured in 4 30-point-plus ball games. And, Cooper, thanks for coming in tonight, son. What's been the explosion part of your game? What's been the difference in your play from your junior to your senior year?
I think I've just been a lot more aggressive. Last year I wasn't really a main scoring part. We had Braden Patton to really give the ball to last year, but I think this year that's like my role, to score, and I think I've gotten a lot stronger, and I used to just be able to shoot, but I think I can do a lot more than that now.
Well, so. I know you spent a lot of time over the summer, and talk about the hours put in to try to, you know, you have a beautiful shot, you're driving to the hole, you're getting in the paint. How much time and effort have you put in to make yourself, you're almost a 24-point scorer here?
Yeah, I mean, the only way to get better is to put in the work, and the only way to get a good shot is to work on it. So, I mean, every hour you put in, the better you're going to get.
What do you like about this basketball team you're a part of? Your leadership, you're leading by example, and you do a great job off the court as well. What do you like about your teammates and the position you're in right now?
What I like most about this team is we don't have any problems off the court about teammates not liking each other. I feel like earlier in my high school career, we had a lot of teammate issues, but this year we have really good team unity, team bonding, and we just love working together every day.
Talk about that little guy that runs the backcourt and sees you occasionally with those dimes that he throws at you. Joe Cato, I mean, you know, he's a sophomore. I mean, talk about the impact that guy has.
Well, you said earlier that we average 14 assists a game. I'm pretty sure he's got about 10 of those a game, I'd say. But, I mean, he can get the ball down the court quick. He can find you wherever you're at. That's, I mean, some of the passes he makes is just unbelievable, and he's just crazy quick.
I want to talk to you about another young man who has become a scorer, Cam Bannister. Talk about his contributions to date and how he has involved himself in your offense, Cooper.
Well, Cam is just very athletic, and whenever he understands that not a lot of people can stop him going to the hole, then he's really good. Like whenever we played Martinsville and he had, I think, 18 points, and they just couldn't stop him going to the hole, so we just kept doing it and doing it. And whenever he understands that he can do that against most guys, then
you, you know, we had Cooper Bybee joining us in conversation with Jason Brown and head coach J.B. Neal, the Mustangs and the Northview Knights Friday night. Chalk Talk with J.B. at 7, and we'll tip it at 7:30 or so. There will be a J.B. game that night. Cooper, talk about the experience, and you unloaded 90 points in that Wabash Valley tournament in four games. Obviously, you had your sights set, but what was the experience like going up against two teams that probably wouldn't be on your schedule had it not been for that tournament in the Terre Haute schools?
Well, that tournament's always really fun. There's a lot of media coverage, and there's always the best team, best players. And, I mean, you play against Terre Haute North, Terre Haute South. They've got Division I players, and that's just a whole lot of fun going up against those guys.
Well, I know there wasn't fun, you know, when you lost that sectional championship game. You had, I look at the sectional title game, you had 28 points in that ball game, and Northview beat you. It's pretty tough to beat a team four times. But that being said, how much motivation now looking at a team that you're going to turn around and play again in February and quite possibly again maybe in the tournament? What about the Knights? What are you expecting Friday night?
Well, I mean, we just got to take it one game at a time and not worry about when we play in the regular season or sectional. We got to focus on the conference championship right now, and right now just I'm hoping guys and trying to get guys to understand that they beat us in the sectional championship and kind of keep that in your head.
Well, you do, and what are some of the keys as you see them? Jason was talking about, you know, doing what he does well, rebounding and defense. What are some of the keys for you as you see them from an offensive standpoint? What do they do defensively that's good that you see?
Well, they play a lot of zone. It looks like a press or zone, and they drop back into a zone. They did last year, and we're going to have to really deal with their press because we haven't had to deal with press a lot this year. But we're going to have to deal with that and make sure guys are running the ball and advancing it and making good decisions.
How easy has it been in your personal transition with you being the number one scorer in a team that is very well balanced? I mean, you're right there at the top. Was there much of a transition with Coach Neal coming in than the past couple of years for you?
I mean, not really. At this point, I'm just kind of used to new coaches and whatnot. But we kind of run the same kind of four out one in offense that we ran last year, so I mean our fast break's a little bit different, but for the most part it wasn't that much change. But I feel like I got a little bit more freedom this year, and I can have the ball in my hands a little more.
Well, you do indeed, and yeah, the ball has been distributed well. And Cooper, we wish you the very best, and Jason on Friday night, and well beyond the Northview Knights. And hey, guys, thanks for how school go. I hardly recognize you without your headband tonight. But hey, you wear it. How's school coming and everything? Going okay for you?
Yeah, it's going.
Huh?
It's going.
How about you, Jason?
Not too bad.
All right. Well, that's a good answer. You've only been in school a week or two since the holiday break. Hey, we'll see you Friday night, guys, and beyond. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Well, JB, a couple of your quality young men, and Jason Brown and Cooper Bybee, and we talked specifics about this Northview team. I know you and I had texted one another, and you weren't done completely with your scout report because you had about four more tapes to watch of Northview. But Clint Weddle brings in a ball club that, like you, 5-0, 11 wins. What do you see in this bunch?
Nice size. They got a couple kids that are 6'7", 6'8". They can shoot the three. Rebounding is going to be a big key for us Friday night, keeping them off the glass because they really hit the offensive boards. And then they, like Cooper referred to, they like to press. They change it up a little bit. We've not faced a whole lot of pressure this year. I think the guy you mentioned, Joe Keto, he kind of takes care of that for us. So something's got to give Friday night, either their press or our ball handling. So those two things, I think, will be a big difference. And their length is something like we've not seen a whole lot this year as far as man for man. But, you know, hopefully we can rebound a basketball and shoot it well, and we'll give ourselves a chance.
Well, they have nice size. They have decent size, and they always have been a rugged basketball club. You are still fitting pieces together, and you had two JB come to the forefront this past weekend in Chayton Howard and Caleb Norris. And Howard had 40 points over the weekend, Norris off the bench. How important is that to get the consistency out of your two big guys?
Well, that's the whole key for us to win, beat good teams. You know, we've seen every junk defense imaginable with Cooper. They switch everything, diamond one. We've seen all that. And so those guys, you know, they have to step up. And like you said, they're finally starting to notice that and take a hold of that. The last two games have played well. I've been after them all season for some consistency and to be aggressive on the offensive end. And if we can get all those pieces together, you know, we ought to be fine going down the stretch here. But everybody's got a role. You know, like you mentioned to Jason, you know, Jason does a lot of stuff that doesn't show up on the stat sheet. He got his hand on a big ball there tonight against Bedford. Kept a layup from happening for them. So, you know, those things are inevitable. That's what we got to have from everybody. But Jayden's got to be a scorer for us. The last two games he has, let's see if he can be consistent and continue that.
You know, Cooper was talking a little about Cam Bannister, and again, here is a fine for you because, well, up until this year, well, he's only a sophomore, but here's the young man almost averaging double figures for you. He's about 8.5 or 9, but where does he have to continue to get better? Just keep his mind on what he's doing?
Yeah, Cam usually draws the other team's best player, their scorer, so, you know, he's got a defensive assignment every game, but you know, like Cooper said, the thing with Cam is he just doesn't realize how good he could be. He's one of the better athletes on our team. He's long. He can get to the rim whenever he wants, and he's another one. Just get some consistency out of him on the offensive end is being key. But he's picked it up here the last 3 or 4 games. Hopefully he can continue.
Well, it's a team in Northview that they put up some points, but two, they surrender them, and you're at a 55-point yield right now. Talk to me about, you know, the old saying, defense wins championships. So here we are, 4 quarters or more, Friday night against these guys on your home court. You happy where the defense is right now as we sit in the middle part? I know you're never really, coach is never really happy, but what's been pleasing to you? Let me put it to you that way.
We've came a long way from where we started, just watching kids in open gym. That wasn't part of their vocabulary. But I think some guys have bought in as far as, hey, I can get out on the court if I'll guard somebody and rebound. There's a place for me out there. So I think that's helped. And guys have come along probably better than I anticipated because when we started, like I said, our help side, our ball you man principles were not very good. But, you know, and that's nothing against them. They'd played another style and more of a matchup type zone. And we've flip-flopped that totally. You know, we're kind of in your face man-to-man now and helping recover. And they've adjusted quite well, and then I see guys grow and get better at that each game.
Well, and Edgewood has done exactly that, and they play for a championship for a second consecutive year on Friday night. West Vigo plays at Indian Creek for 3rd place, Sullivan at Cloverdale for 5th, South Putnam at Cascade for 7th, North Putt at Owen Valley for 9th, and Greencastle at Brown County for 11th, and that is the crossover games, but we're in pursuit of another one out in Ellettsville. JB, thanks for coming in. We look forward to talking to you later in the week and obviously being out at the yard on Friday night. And the best of luck to you the rest of the way out.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
JB Neal joining us, Cooper Bybee, Jason Brown, and Edgewood basketball on the airwaves. Chalk Talk on Friday night. We'll be back to close it out. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Well, closing out things, Beer School coming, ready to start here at Yogi's, the Maui Brewing Company. Let's see, Founders Brewing tonight will be in and commenting and tasting here at Yogi's, my favorite place at the corner of 10th and Indiana. Our employee of the by the week is Pete Curran, who does an outstanding job. And that'll about do it for tonight. Glad to be back in the harness, so to speak. Thanks to Fred Glass, VP. Director of Athletics at Indiana U, big screen with the Hoosiers, a big game at Chrysler Center, 9:05 on ESPN2 right here at Yokies. Don't forget, In the Zone, Dave and Glass, your phone calls tomorrow night. Hey, the Reds caravan stopping off at the College Mall at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. FYI there. Edgewood, Northview, best of the ponies. They gallop onto the court to see if they can win two in a row in the WIC. Chalk Talk, J.B. Neal, 7 o'clock on Friday night. For producer Will Boatman and for Joanna Glasscott, Mike Glasscott, Joe Smith, you've been listening to Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Good night, everyone.